Hey guys, this is the Intimacy Podcast for the Million Dollar Man, and I'm your host, Rhonda Farr. We're talking all about high achievers who want to create more emotional connection and intimacy in their relationships, and what it's like to be in a relationship with a high achiever. Please enjoy. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. We are welcoming back Mariah Wickham, who is a leadership and life coach with a focus in the Enneagram. And we are so excited to have her back. Welcome.
Thank you. It's really good to be back.
Last time we talked about the Enneagram type threes, and this time we're going to talk about Enneagram type eights. And we are going to talk about how sometimes those two personality types can get confused. But before we dive into that, go to Mariah's Instagram page if you want to learn more about this. Last time I had her on the show, actually several people went out to find their Enneagram types. They went out to see if they were a true three. They learned a lot about subtypes and wings. So I think you sparked a lot for my audience. So anybody who's listening, go look her up and you can find more of her resources and how she helps people. All right, Mariah. You ready to dive in? Let's talk about how eights and threes can get mistyped. You mentioned that in the beginning, and I think it's super important to start here.
Yes, yes. So a lot of the behaviors for threes and eights look the same. And so that's what's important to remember with the Enneagram. The Enneagram is about motivations. It's not about behavior. And so I know I discussed with some people that were interested after the last podcast, and some came to find out they were a true three. Some came to discover they were actually an eight, not a three. And so that what can on the outside, what can look as very competitive behavior or drive to succeed, there can be different motivations for that. So one of the biggest differences that I have seen with threes and eights is a three seeks that out, that success and that drive, because they're competitive. They want to be seen as better than other people. They want to be the best. They want to read a room and they want to find the power in the room and align with the people with the power. Eights, on the other hand, just view things as a challenge. So they might do very similar things, but they're doing it because they love to accept a challenge. They love to say, oh, you know, set a really big goal in their business. And like, I'm going to hit $1 million year. And they do that because they just love the challenge, not because they will then be better than someone else or at the top of, you know, the charts compared to other people. So that's one of the biggest differences. Another one is, remember, we might have talked about this last time. I can't really remember, but every Enneagram type has a instinctual center. And the threes are in the heart center and the eights are in the gut center. So this is a big, big difference as well. So if you are one trying to decide, am I a three or an eight? You can take a look at your behaviors and your instincts and your motivations. And are you more driven by your heart? Now, keep in mind that threes are repressed in that center, as well as it being the center where they take in all the information from the world. So it's an interesting dynamic.
What does that mean? I don't quite understand it. So tell me more.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. And this happens in all the triads, all the intelligence center triads. You have one number that shows up this way, where they're taking in information from the world through that center, but they also repress that center. And so in the heart triad, that's how it happens in threes. In the gut triad, nines are that way. And they take everything in through their gut, but they also don't want, they repress it. They don't want to focus on it. So for threes, that means that they are very slow to show emotion. They're very slow to express any kind of vulnerability. Now, this is same for eights. So again, this is a way that they can get mistyped a lot, but eights have a very different reason for not wanting to show their emotion. They don't want to be seen as weak. they don't want to be seen as, they don't want to show off that vulnerability. It's like the worst thing in the world for an eight to be seen as vulnerable or weak. And so, and for eights, they are a part of that gut triad, which means they are very gut responsive. So they just kind of instinctually do things. They don't think or feel first. They do first. Mm-hmm. They have a very, and so back to the threes that are a part of the heart triad, they will feel first. That's how they take in information. But because that's the repressed center, they also shut it down sometimes. So with eights are not practiced in their heart center. That's their least used intelligence center. And so to go there is super hard because they just don't have practice in it. They haven't done it a lot. It's not how they have adapted in the world and learned to get their needs met. And so the growth for eights is learning how to go into their heart center more. And that's the whole bit for all of us, all of our types, is you want to seek balance. A healthy person is one that pays attention to all the centers. So you have one that you're primarily using, but if you learn to use all of them, then you become a much healthier, well-rounded person.
Hey, thank you for all of that. And if you're mm-hmm. still like, okay, what do some of these words mean? For my listeners, just go Google a word or two or a phrase that Mariah said, because it can be a little bit complicated. But I think today we've got the right person here to help us understand it better. And I hesitate to point these two things out that you said right now, because I know we're going to get into them. But the two mm-hmm. things that I see on my client calls, when you said they don't show vulnerability very easily, like it's so hard for them, I think that's why the partner of the eight struggles so much. Like the eight will be like, I need support too. And you're not doing your part. Like, this isn't fair. I'm working and doing so much. And they want so much from their partners that they feel like they're offering. But the partner of an eight will often say to me, doesn't even occur to me to build them up because they never show me that they're weak or vulnerable. It doesn't even occur to me that they would want me to do that, because when they come into a room, it's almost like they present as they've got it all together and I feel like they're one up from me. Like, why would they need me? So, and I'm half eight. I'm going to remind the listeners, I'm a nine with an eight wing. And in my marriage, this comes out. I can see it in me too. It's like, oh, I want to be so deeply connected in this close relationship, but it's really hard for me to allow myself to receive and be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Eights want to be very self-sufficient. Yeah. They want to be very independent and take care of everything. But in that same vein, they also want to be like deeply connected to somebody.
Yeah.
An eight's inner circle is very, very tight. You look at an eight and like they're very, very close friends and the people that are, and they are very loyal to that core group. These are the type of people that like stick with their, you know, high school friends throughout their whole life and always show up for them. Very, very loyal to their inner circles. Something I love about that's something I absolutely love about eights. They're very loyal and they will, like betrayal is really hard. That's like one of their greatest fears.
Yeah.
And so they work hard to not be like what they see as betrayal to others.
Yeah, I can definitely see that in my clients. The second thing I was going to point out, and then we want to go into all the strengths and beautiful things about eights. But the second thing is when you said they do first, like they're just doing before they're thinking, before they're feeling. And eights often get frustrated that they're able to get things done so much more quickly. They're able to just move. And it's like everybody else is like dead weight sometimes. Like, what? This is really easy. Can't you see? We just do it this way. And it can be frustrating for the eight because everybody seems so much slower. But it can also be so frustrating for the partner because they just feel like they're being dragged along and also being blamed for not being as quick or whatever.
Yes, so it can be. If you're married to an eight, it can feel like it's the, I mean, just to like come up with a random name, like it can feel like the Brian show, right? If you're like married to a Brian, it can feel like it's the Brian show. because like they have plans, they have this, they have things scheduled. They are ready to accomplish. They are ready to do the next thing. They're ready to move on. Like you said, they're very fast paced. Mm-hmm. And so it can feel as a spouse of that type of person that you're just getting swallowed up in that, and that there's no room for you. And it's not, there's no part you're not reflecting in that show, quote unquote.
Yeah. And imagine how the eight feels then when the partner's like, I'm not a part of this. And they feel like they're on the outskirts, and that eight is craving that connection, that person that they can be loyal and deeply like seen by. It gets so dicey, but we'll get to that. Let's start with all the amazing and wonderful things about eights.
Yes. Everyone needs an eight in their corner. Everyone needs an eight on their team, because eights are natural leaders. They're going to have natural vision and natural big picture thinking, really big picture thinking. They have grand goals, and they have, big things they want to accomplish. They are blunt. And I know that has a negative connotation, but I'm not saying it negatively at all. That is a huge strength to eights, like no BS, like let's just get to the heart of it. Tell me the truth. I can deal with that. Don't mess around. Don't try to sugarcoat things. Don't try to make it easier on me. Just tell it as it is. And in business, that works really well, because then this is one of the reasons they can succeed at the levels they do, because they're just like, they don't mince words. They're just very blunt, and they like the truth. And as a four myself, which fours really love authenticity, fours and eights get along really well for this reason, because eights also value authenticity. They want you how you are. They don't want you to like bend and mold to like what they think you want to be. And so in a marriage, this can be very confusing, because sometimes partners of eights have molded, have shape shifted to this show, like I kind of referenced earlier, of their spouse. And then when the resentment gets to a certain level, they need to speak up. And it's shocking to the eight partner, because they're like, wait, what? Like you've been shape shifting and like molding yourself and changing yourself this whole time. Like, that's not what I wanted, the authentic you, right? So it's a very shocking and alarming thing. Sorry, I was talking about good things. Go off on tangents. Other strengths of eights are they can just keep moving, that fast pace we referenced a few minutes ago. They can just keep moving and keep moving through whatever. Like they can just, if they have a big blow up with their spouse, for instance, they're just like, okay, now on to the next thing. Like, where certain types, that blow up is just going to crush them. It's going to take them days to process. They're going to be talking about all their friends about it. And that's not how eights are. Eights can like pivot and just change direction super, super easily. Like there's a lot of flexibility in that. And in certain circumstances, that is a huge strength. And let's see, they have a lot of passion. And when they can direct that passion to, building companies, building businesses, establishing really great relationships in a family or whatever else, those passions are great, right? They're awesome. I've never met another more passionate person than an Enneagram 8. They are like lit up about a lot of things. And so they, that passion comes out in lots of different ways. Also, their sense of justice is a strength, I feel like, because they will watch out for the underdog. Eights want to be a protector. They want to help in that way. Twos actually are the help, like the nickname for twos is the helper. And eights actually can look like that a lot, but it's like an aggressive type of help. Like they want, they can sometimes go to this place of like, well, I know what's better for you than you know what's better for you. And so I'm just going to go in and I'm just going to come in and share advice, or I'm just going to come in and fix it for you. But it comes from that sincere place of wanting to help. And so they watch out for other people in a way that some of the other types don't, which is a huge strength. Anything else? That was a good list.
Yeah, I love it. I'm just thinking as you're sharing that, you know, there are certain personality types, I think, that are drawn toward the eights and the threes. We often will see a nine who's a more quiet chameleon, like peacemaker, with an eight or a three. Do you think fours are also drawn to threes because they're more the emotional, or no? I know there's no right or wrong or absolutes here, but
healthy people make great relationships. So it's not about your type and the other type that you're married to. It's about being a healthy type, whatever you are. But there are patterns, and there are studies I've seen that show which types are most commonly paired up. Mm-hmm. I do know that fours and nines are a very, very common combination. Eights and nines can be a common combination. Threes and nines can be a common combination.
I see that one a lot in my work. The threes and the nines and the eights and the nines, I see a lot.
Yes. And the reason for that is because nines love it when other people just take charge. They love it when someone's just going to take care of it and just, you know, do what needs to be done and just kind of let someone else lead. But in a marriage over time, that can lead to some resentment. And so when the nine is finally ready to speak up and say, hey, I don't like how this is working anymore. Again, it's that what I was saying earlier, that like alarming thing to the eight or the three, because they're like, wait, what? I thought we were good. I thought this setup and how we did it was good. And little did I know, you've been building resentment all these years.
Yeah. And when it starts coming out, it like, yeah, when a nine is finally ready to let it blow, like it can really blow. And a lot of my clients and their partners will say, oh, it worked. It totally worked until that seemingly poignant moment where it didn't work. And what we often say is it actually wasn't working. Mm-hmm. When you thought, I don't know, that's an interesting, wasn't working. Yeah. Maybe isn't the right phrase, but it resentment was building up the whole time. You thought it was all roses, but when the nine lets it loose, those are things that have been accumulating for years, you guys. It's not like one moment that didn't work anymore.
Right, right. Another thing I love to keep in mind, and this applies to any type, that your coping mechanisms and your behaviors within your personality type are not necessarily moral or immoral. Mm-hmm. There just comes a time when they don't work for you anymore.
Yeah.
And I love that thought so much because it allows us to remove the judgment of what isn't working anymore. It allows us to not become obsessed with how we did it wrong or how we were, quote unquote, a bad person. Just let go of all that judgment and just recognize this is just something that isn't working anymore. And I need to build in better coping mechanisms or better ways to connect. And I need to build, you know, better ways to create connection in this relationship.
I love that because sometimes we're tempted to blame and shame ourselves. We can't go back and change things. So we'll often wallow in what the coulda, shoulda, would've's are. And also I think with eight, sometimes when we approach it with like, oh, you did this wrong or you didn't do this right, like they can dig in their heels sometimes. And it's just not helpful. Like even if we do that to ourselves as eights, I love that you shared that. How do you feel about just saying when I'm in a healthy state or an unhealthy state? Because I think you used that word healthy earlier. Mm-hmm. Does that resonate? Does that feel good as a way to say sometimes we're more healthy in our personality type than others?
For sure. Yes. When we experience different levels of stress in our lives, when we have different demands, when we have different things, we'll go into more of an unhealthy expression of our type for sure. And that can happen within one like 24-hour period too, right? Mm-hmm. Like we can be like having some more ups and downs. It's just, that's one of the reasons why it's so good to understand this and learn more about your type so you can catch those red flags. So you can see like, oh, this is how I act when I'm in my stress state. So what do I need to do to deal with this stress and cope so that I can get back to more of a regulated system, right? And so that's one of the main reasons I think that Enneagram is so helpful, because we can point to those behaviors and go, okay, that's a stressful reaction.
Well, let's talk about the stress state 8, if that's okay, then. I would love to hear, and just a reminder, not a criticism. Some of these things might make some of our 8s be like, whoa, what? But like,
well, yeah. And the reason why that's happening is because you hate the feeling of vulnerability so much. And so you get defensive probably more often than some of the other types, because you just can't bear to be seen that way. You just don't want, you want to put up all the defense, you know, walls and everything, because you want to guard yourself so quickly. And just know that that's happening. Mm-hmm. And invite a little bit of softness into this like experience. Invite a little bit of softness and just see for a minute what it would be like if you let that guard down and the walls down, because that's what you really want. What eights really, really want is on the other side of all the walls they've built.
Oh yes. If we only like take one phrase from this whole podcast, I think we could put a circle around that one. Like they often, and I'll say this a lot, they often sabotage the thing that they want the most, but they, it's so unintentional. They can't really see that they're doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, you really want what's on the other side of the walls, but it's so scary.
Yes.
I don't know if scary is the right word, but for whatever
it
reason.
It is. It's so very uncomfortable. And it's unique. That's kind of unique to eights, right? Other types don't experience that. So I have a ton of compassion for eights. I love eights so much. I just want to go on record and say that. Yeah. My son, who's almost 20, is an eight. And yes, it was very challenging to raise him. But I, like, of course, love him more than anything. And so there are so many good things. And you don't need to be so hard on yourself to grow and expand and build the things in your life that are going to be what you really, really want. Like, you don't have to be hard on yourself to get that.
Okay, well, let's do some straight shooting, because we know that the eights like that. So let's do some straight shooting about stressful eights.
When eights experience stress, they're going to go into control mode, and they will want to control everything. And this is paired up with this ever-present emotion of anger. Eights turn to anger quicker than any other emotion. And so
I'm laughing because I'm like, oh, in my marriage, my poor husband, it's me, right? Hi, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So anger, and that comes from that like gut instinct that just, it's just where they go really quick. And so paired with that anger, they want to control everything. That's how they, like, when they're stressed out, that's how they want to create safety. It's like, oh, I got to control this. I've got to, and it moves into relationships. I've got to control my wife. I've got to control my kids. I've got to make sure they're doing, you know, X, Y, Z, or I've got to make sure this happens, or my employees do whatever. I mean, it goes into every part. It's a little scary for the people in the lives of eights, like, because other people don't want to be controlled. And it's a crazy, ironic thing, because eights fear that more than anything. They fear being controlled, but it's what they do when they're in a state of stress. And
ooh, let's draw a circle around that one too. That one's really good too, right? It's the thing they fear, but it's also the pattern they fall into. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good to shine a light on that. They're doing the very thing that they would hate to have happen to them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You don't have to speak to this if this is not your forte, and it's really not mine either, so I hesitate to bring it up. But I think eights are sometimes also referred to in terms of attachment theory as anxiously attached because of that. right?
Yeah, very well could be. And I'm anxiously attached. So I am saying that with all the compassion I can muster. And so when things go wrong, you need to control it. You need to control the relationship. You need to make sure the relationship is okay. And so you can feel okay. And so that's a great example of how that anxious attachment shows up for sure.
Yeah, I see it a lot. And I would love it if we could see a raise of hands with the listeners, like who's been told they're anxiously attached and identify with the 8 personality traits, because I think super common.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it's not easy to admit that, right? Like any of these things, we're just like, oh, I'd rather not. Like, I'd rather not be true about me. But when you can just sit with it and just let the judgment fall away and just observe it, you'll get so much further ahead. Because this motivation 8s have to have control or protect themselves and protect others can be a very, very good thing. But when you're in this state of stress and it's like desperate, and it becomes very frustrating for the people around you. And so you learn, when 8s learn to communicate better, when they learn to express themselves and go to that vulnerable space and open up their hearts, then all of a sudden the people around them get it. The people around them are like, oh, you're just trying to protect me. You're not trying to control me. You actually love me so much. And you're just creating this life for us is so important to you. Like that soft place is what 8s really want.
I love that. I also want to ask you about the justice and fairness, because we pointed that out, how wonderful that can be. I also see in my clients when they're in times of stress that they really want to know that their partner is working just as hard as they are to create safety and connection again. They often want to know that their partner will take responsibility for their parts in this. Like my 8s that I work with have a very hard time when they feel like they're the only ones doing the work or they're the only ones being called out. They'll often say, why am I always the problem? Can we please focus on them? And I always say, well, you're the one in my Zoom screen right now. And they're okay with that. But that justice and fairness in times of stress, I think, can really trip them up too. Because what I'll say is, if you don't require her to do all the things you think she should and you take care of yourself, what happens? And they say, well, she usually will come back, or she usually will, when she feels safe, like I'm not trying to be, you know, overbearing, controlling, angry. But they still don't like it. Like they can even see it. Many of my clients will say, no, you're right. I know she comes back to me and it is the thing I want, but it's so hard to not require her to do all the things that they think she should. So what would you say about that? How would you help my clients who are feeling that fairness and justice in that way?
Yes, that flares up a lot in times of stress for 8s for sure. This need, and they just have a higher, like they just place a higher value on justice and fairness than other people do. Now, my suggestion is definitely a more coachy suggestion. But when you hear your mind saying things like, why am I the one that has to do all the work? Or why am I the one that's always the problem? Be really careful when your mind tells you things in always formats, right? Always and never are very polarizing. And 8s can go there because 8s love intensity. They seek out that passion, that intensity. And so I would invite you, when you hear your mind saying things like that, to find evidence for the opposite being true. So why, if your brain is saying, I am the one that has to do all the work, is that really true? Find evidence find three bits of evidence that show other people are also working in this relationship. And just let your mind find that, so that you're not always going to the always statements and then just getting hooked on those and finding, you know, getting that intensity going, or why am I always the problem? Well, is that really true? Can you find evidence that shows contrary? Can you find evidence? And your brain is not going to want to. Your brain likes polarities. Your brain likes black and white thinking.
Yeah.
But as we grow and learn that we don't need to believe everything our brain says, we can find that evidence that goes, okay, I'm not the one that's the problem. And really, we don't even need to label it as that, actually. We don't need to say this is a problem. We can just say, you know, there are other things going on. There are ways to grow. This is an invitation to create what I really want. This is an opportunity to create the connection that, you know, is possible in this relationship.
Yeah, I like that. Don't believe everything that you think. Absolutely. And if we can look at it as an opportunity to create what we really want, I mean, I see a lot of evidence with that, with eight in a partnership with somebody who's a little bit more, avoidantly attached. If we're going to go back to attachment theory, eights often feel like they're in a partnership with somebody who just won't show up for things. They won't show up for the conversations. And if they can create a space or an opportunity for the connection they really want, I mean, what a beautiful thing. It can be so connecting. So connecting when both partners work through that. You said the word intensity a few times.
Yeah.
Whoa, we see intensity a lot when we're talking about eights. Do you want to say anything else about that? Because sometimes eights are surprised, I think, that they're described that way. Or another little telltale sign of an eight is when people are like, you're so intimidating. And they're like, what? I am?
Yes. Yes. This is the funny thing about eights. Okay. The gap between how eights see themselves and how other people see them is the biggest of any type, because eights just don't get it. They're like, what? I'm not intimidating. Like, why are people calling me intimidating? Why are people calling me intense? Like, and they don't. And this is actually another really good difference between threes and eights, because threes will be in tune to that. Threes will be in tune to how other people perceive them. That's one of a bit. That's a big, big, big thing for a three. Eights have no clue. Eights are very disconnected from how other people perceive them. And so how they perceive themselves is often a huge chasm from how other people see them. And so that, that intensity is just, they just don't, like they don't, when it's labeled that, they don't get it. They're just like, what do you mean? You know? And then all of us are like scratching our heads, 'cause I'm like, well, your face looks really intense. You're speaking with a high volume. You're using really large body language. I mean, to the rest of us, we're like, how is this not obvious to you? But they just don't get it.
Yeah. Do you think they don't get it because they appreciate the challenge so much, like back at them? Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's an interesting thing. I don't really know why. But yeah, that could be part of it. They see it as a challenge. It also could be the reason, part of it could be that their desire for authenticity is so strong that they're just like, this is how I am. Like, it's not a problem. I'm not intense. I'm not like they're in your face. Like, I'm not intense.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait a minute. You know, and we just have other types that are a lot more sensitive and a lot more in tune to those kinds of things, that they read it differently. And it's also that gut instinct too, where they don't think, eights aren't going to think or feel first, they're going to do first. And so that's, again, going to the threes. Threes are going to feel first, and then they'll, you know, do later. But eights are just like, do it and then think about it later. And so those behaviors come out so quickly that they don't have time to adapt or change or do it any differently.
Yeah. I think it's so good to point that out, what you said, all the characteristics that the partner might be seeing. Because when the eights are oblivious, I think this is really a great opportunity to pause, maybe even ask your partner. So if you're an eight, go ask, like, is this how you see me? Maybe even replay this part of the podcast with them. Is this what it's like for you? Because guys, on the other side of that, it can be so scary. Not that you are scary, but for somebody who's not used to operating that way. Like, it can totally feel unsafe. Like, I've seen partners like shake before, not because mm-hmm. they're actually in physical danger, but it's just like, oh my gosh, this is overwhelming to me, right?
Right. But eights are seeking connection through those very things.
Yeah.
Eights seek connection through contention. Like, when I learned this about my son, it was like everything made sense in the world. Because
yeah.
I would just like constantly be overwhelmed by his need for contention, and eights work against everything in life. Eights just work against whatever is happening. And so this need for that, but this is actually how they think they're going to get connection. And it's not true for the people around you. And so stepping back and just recognizing that is a wonderful thing for eights. But y'all, yeah, it's alarming for the rest of us. Cause we're like, what in the world? Like, the rest of us, you know, conflict and contention and all that, that breaks the connection. But eights think it's going to create it.
So it's very easy to see why we get in a tricky dynamic in a romantic relationship, right? One person is saying, I'm going to challenge these things because it feels really good to be authentic, and this is how I want to step into connection. And the other person is super afraid of that. And so they avoid or distance from that connection, which usually makes the eight more anxious. So they get try to chase with that intensity, and then their partner runs. Will you speak just for a moment? Sorry, this wasn't in our notes in our predetermined conversation, but I think this could be really wonderful for the partner of an eight. Like, do you have any thoughts or advice when the partner of an eight feels like, oh crap, here it comes. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to deal with that. Like, I mm-hmm. have a couple of family members and friends who are married to people who are eights, and they're like, I go blank. Like, I mm-hmm. literally do not know what to do in those moments when my partner's mm-hmm. expecting mm-hmm. something from me.
Yes. And it can be a really hard situation, but actually eights love it when you stand your ground. Eights love it when they see someone else as having a strong backbone.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can be the opposite though for other people. Other people are like, I mean, they just want me to join their bandwagon, and they just want me to like get all riled up as much as they are about that thing. And I'm like, no, not an eight. An eight is fine if you have a different opinion, but you need to stand your ground and have a strong backbone. When they find that boundary, when eight finds that boundary, they respect it. But because it feels threatening to other people, they tend to back away. They tend to withdraw. And so that it's confusing to that eight, because they're like, wait, no, that I was in this for the challenge, and you're just backing away.
Mm-hmm.
And so the advice I would give for the partner is to find ways to create that boundary. And that can look 100 different ways. It can be you just standing your ground. It can be you stating something very boldly. It can be you being very playful and going to a playful place and not taking it so seriously, because it feels serious when they're like being so bold, right? And they're being challenging. It feels serious. But if you can find a way to be playful and do that and kind of break that tension, then that's a boundary too. Like, okay, I'm not going to take it that way. I'm going to like shift the tone. And that can be really, really good. My son loves nothing better than when I have like, can come up with like a big roast for him. Like, I just like a super like, you know, like sarcastic. I mean, I view it as mean, but I know he loves it. And so when I can come up with one and like throw it his way, he's like, mad respect, you know. They love that sort of thing, that kind of banter, which I think can come if you are go to it through a playful lens, not a sarcastic, resentful lens. If you go through it through a playful lens, that banter can really create some beautiful connection.
Thank you for sharing that. It's so interesting what different personality types appreciate. So mm-hmm. I think for the partners of the eights, maybe just some practice, like outside of the intensity, might be super helpful. Like I'm envisioning as you're saying that, like imagining just taking a step forward and them just learning to like plant themselves, you know, just firmly, because eights can be so intense. It can feel overpowering. Like I can't stand firmly. And so I might even suggest for the partners of the eights, like practice when there's not a lot of intensity going on, saying what you think. And I even, I don't know if you would recommend this or not, but in my mind, when you were saying this, I was imagining myself stepping forward, planting myself and saying, no, I don't agree with that. Like, sometimes if that's all you can get out, oh, you've done it. But then maybe another baby step. I see that differently, right? And
yes,
or whatever.
Yes. The eights I know appreciate that. The eights I know. And I, that's what I like respect about eights is they don't need people to like be on their bandwagon. They need people to have a strong back. And so whatever that looks like, but often partners of eights view it as the most helpful thing to just try to avoid the conflict. And so that's not always helpful. It's not always helpful. Learn, like just practice, like you said, in times when it's not intense, practice like the banter, the playful banter, practice having a strong back or, you know, standing up to him and just with a twinkle. I mean, this is done with love, right? I mean, the minute we have anger or the minute we have resentment or, you know, those kinds of things, it's going to be troubling for all of us. But when you can stand in that place of love and stand in that place of, gratitude for your partner, then good things can happen.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think sometimes for the other half of this, when they're trying to practice this outside of contention, they're so afraid that if I step in and do it, contention will come, you know, and I'll just say to the partner, that's one thing you've got to look out for, because not just eights, but most people actually really appreciate authenticity. Now they have their ways that they like to give and receive it. But a lot of my clients have partners who are afraid, even in non-contentious times, to be honest, because they think as soon as I do, here we go again. I'm going to be caught in a conflict or a challenge. And so I would also say to eights, like if your partner comes to you after listening to this, maybe you guys could listen to it together and they say, I would really like to practice that, but I'm so scared if I do that, I'm just going to have to deal with more discomfort and like conversations that are going to get contentious. Don't punish your partner for being honest. Like let them do it. Give them a little space to do it.
That is a point I'd love to make here, is that eights have a strong instinct, or even sometimes it's called an addiction for vengeance.
Ooh, and they
yes, they want, and this comes from that desire for justice and fairness. And so it's like, if you know, are mean to me, I'm going to seek vengeance and you deserve meanness because you were mean to me. That can be a real thing. And the reason I thought of it is because you just said, you know, like you said, don't punish them for being honest. And so check yourself, right? Like if that hurts you, that's okay. It's okay. In relationships, we unintentionally hurt each other often. That's a part of building connection. That's a part of growing together. But eights do have this tendency then to like, oh, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you now. And it's often 10 times worse. Like they're like, it's not even, it's not, you did this to me, so now I'm going to do it 1 times to you. It's you did that to me, I'm going to do it 10 times fold to you.
Yes. And because the eights are so skilled at it, I've seen this in the eights. I'd be interested to know what you think. They know they can pummel you. Like they know that they will come out on top. They have a lot of confidence in that. And like you said, when it feels fair and just to open up the can and direct it back at the other person, they have no qualms in showing you how much better they can do it than you did.
Right. Because it's their way of controlling the argument. It's their way of controlling, like, I will come at you. Like, don't be rude to me, because I will 10 times you're rude. And I will, you know, don't be mean to me, because I will 10 times you're mean. And that's a struggle for the partners in these relationships, because they feel like they're like this with this battering ram just constantly coming at them. And so, and knowing it and labeling it as just this instinct for vengeance, I hope will help the eights that are listening recognize that, like, yes, there's that instinct, but I don't have to respond to it. I can, and this is the whole reason I talk about the Enneagram so much and why I believe in it so much. The point of recognizing these behaviors in all of us is to rise above them, to take a more conscious and intentional approach to your life. Yes, that's my instinct. Yes, that's how I've been, like, you know, how I've learned to adapt, but I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to be defined by that. And I can recognize that that need for vengeance rise up in me, and I can recognize it and let it be there and not react to it.
An eight might be thinking, that feels like a Herculean effort to try and do that. But the two things I thought of when you said that is, when your partner tries to be honest with you and you teach them that you will pummel them and make it 10 times worse, you're reinforcing to them that you're not safe to be connected to. Mm-hmm. And so what that leads to is the eight, when he does the thing, or she, there are definitely female eights, when they do the thing that makes them feel really strong and they're confident in, which is like being 10 times more dominant, then they cut off their own deep desire of connection that they're actually usually quite sensitive and insecure about. So that goes back to what we said earlier. They're sabotaging the very thing that they're craving most. And often they don't even realize it because it gets so disproportionate, like the rebuttal and the reaction. And then they just think, my partner sucks and will never step into conflict with me. And I'm like,
yes,
yeah, yes, because that, you
that feels like a betrayal. That feels like a betrayal. And that's so, so hard for eights to experience betrayal. And so they just, again, it's that perception thing of like how eights are perceiving it is so different than how other people are perceiving it, that that's what creates the miscommunication. Like, what I mean, and maybe this is a great question for eights to ask themselves more often. It's like, what do I really want? You know, do I really, I mean, if I really want connection, maybe there's a better way of going about it. Do I really want to be right? Do I really want to see this relationship as a challenge? Or do I want to see it as a beautiful wonder, like the most beautiful part of my life? Like, and so just checking in with yourself often with that question is probably a good thing.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for offering that question to the listeners. I will say, Mariah, as we start to wrap up, I'd love to hear anything that you feel like we haven't covered yet, but I will say, my eight comes out strong in my marriage, and I felt all of these things, that fairness and justice. Well, I'm working so hard, so should you, or I want to be connected so deeply because I have a deep desire for intimacy, like emotional intimacy. But that vulnerability piece is so difficult sometimes. And if we have this deep desire for intimacy, but we can't let those walls down and be seen in our weaknesses, then again, we are blocking the thing that we're craving. And I have felt this. It can be so painful. So my heart goes out to the eights. I'm not trying to like put out here, like, you're so bad, change everything about you. Like, I felt too. And it's rough.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I have a huge place in my heart for eights, and I appreciate who they are. And I love who they are. And I also recognize that their behaviors can pose some challenges for the people around them. So another thing I wanted to touch on is that some of you who are listening are probably in denial right now. Like, you're probably like, nope, I'm not like that. I must not be an eight. Well, guess what? The biggest defense mechanism ever for an eight is denial. And so, again, because they can't go there, it's so hard to go to that vulnerable place. And so when you, point things out to an eight, they are going to go to denial very, very quickly. And that is, a sign that you are an eight and not a three or another number. And so if you find yourself in that pattern, then that's probably a good pointer that you are actually an eight. And eights sometimes can be described as like a prickly cactus with a marshmallow center. And so I love that visual, because let the marshmallow come out more often. Just let it come out more often, because the prickly out external part, that's hard for the people around you. And so just letting the center come out more often will be so beneficial.
Love that. I love what you said about that denial. I have an 8 client, and in his healthy states, he said to me before, I'm so good at being who I know I'm supposed to be, or he called it like, I'm so good at like putting on this false image that I lie to myself sometimes and don't realize it. Like, he's like, sometimes I don't even trust, because I know I can make a case for something so well that I don't even know I'm doing it. And like, yes. So insightful. So insightful. Yes. He was able to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. Yes. Yes. And don't, I think 8s can be really hard on themselves. So don't be afraid to really recognize these signs of progress. Be really cognizant of where you're changing and where you're creating improvement, and really allow yourself to celebrate. I don't think 8s do that very well. And so that's another really good tip to find more growth and find what you really want, is to celebrate the wins.
Do you think that's why 8s are also hard on the people around them? Because they're just so hard on themselves all day long, and it just naturally flows outward to others as well.
Yes. The Enneagram type 1 is also known for this, because 1s have a very strong inner critic. And so then they're that kind of leaks into other relationships, and they're critical of others as well. And I think for 8s, where it comes from is this, their inner core, their very, very inner core is so vulnerable and so sensitive that they don't want anyone to see that. Like, there can be 8s out there that are very, very insecure inside, very, very insecure and unsure about, but they look like the most confident person in the room. And so you would never guess this. And so then they project that being hard on other people can come from that, where they're projecting that on the people around them.
Yeah, I've seen that too. That really speaks to why they're begging for somebody to be their biggest cheerleader, their fan, to build them up, to scoop them into a loving embrace and a cuddle, right? Like, they want that too. That marshmallow wants that too, but they don't really show that side of themselves. And so again, like we said earlier, it's hard for them to have that thing that they're craving, because it's so hard to show it, to let others see that part of you.
Well, and letting go of the control, you have to really have a lot of trust in relationship as an 8 in order to let go of that control. As long as you're just like, I must control this relationship, I must control what happens, I must be in charge, like, you're going to have a hard time creating that connection you so want. So just letting go of that, trusting your partner a little bit more, showing up a little more vulnerably will just go so, so far.
I love it. That's a good way to end, with just a positive note that there are ways that you can take your beautiful, wonderful personality traits and characteristics and utilize them for these amazing things that you create in your business and in your career and in the community. Like, I've seen so much talent and wisdom come from these 8s. And I love that you shared a few things that we can do to let that come into our relationships, our romantic relationships as well. Is there anything else you would say to the 8s as we finish?
Just my invitation is to open your heart more. That is going to be your biggest challenge, but also your greatest joy when you figure that out. Open up your heart more and just find that balance. You've done a lot of your life in your gut instinct, and you've done a big portion of your life in your mental, like, headspace. And now it's time to find that balance by opening up your heart.
Thank you so much for being here and teaching us about the 8s. I will leave a link below to your Instagram page and also to our previous podcast when we talked about the Enneagram 3 personality type. Also, some of my clients last time sought Mariah out individually for more help with their Enneagram specifics and the details of how it really shows up in their lives more uniquely than we're able to talk about today on this general podcast. So go look at her, go look for her and all the areas.
I'd love to talk about subtypes with anyone that wants to come do a one-on-one with me. I do a deep dive. We talk for like 2.5 hours just about this stuff. We didn't have time to go into subtypes today or other things about the eights, but like social eights and sexual eights and self-preservation eights all show up a little bit differently. So even knowing that about yourself will be very helpful.
Perfect. Go find her, guys. She's got a lot of information here. Thanks, Mariah.